Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And that was our good buddy's Great Moments in Vinyl during rehearsals for their Jimi Hendrix tribute, which is happening this Friday. And that, of course, is Voodoo Child. And joining us to talk about the latest gig that they are doing in honor of Jimi Hendrix this Friday at Martyrs is Lindsey Cochran, who is the band leader for Great Moments in Vinyl, puts it all together. And we love to talk to him whenever Great Moments in Vinyl has some stuff to talk about. And Lindsey, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy New Year, Nick.
Same to you, my friend. And it's great to have you on. Again, one more time for everybody, give everybody the explanation as to what Great Moments in Vinyl is.
Great Moments in Vinyl is a chance for those of us musicians who love a certain album to get together with fans of that album and just kind of revel in the music together, you know? I mean, some bands, I think, get on stage and they want to show off in front of you, but, I mean, we enjoy playing for other people, but the idea is really just to get together with other people and say, wasn't this a cool album?
Yeah.
We got two Hendrix albums. What other answer is there?
Yeah, no, there is no. It's the best. You're doing Are You Experienced in Axis Bold as Love?
The first two.
Fantastic albums. And this is going to be at Martyrs on Friday. You can check
out. And the hardest thing about playing in Great Moments in Vinyl is playing in Great Moments in Vinyl. Just because I work with musicians who are so good, I just want to sit there and stare.
Yeah. I know, I got you. So who's playing this? Who's playing at this gig, Lindsey? Because you always get
Bill Grady on vocals and the main guitar. He's a young guy in the Chicago music scene, but he's been turning a lot of heads lately. A lot of people are talking about him, and I guess he's been just a Hendrix fan from way back. Now I may have the quote incorrect, but I think I said to him, "You know, you're kind of a young guy. How did you hear about Hendrix?" And he said, "Thank John Mayer for that."
Ah.
You know, because I think Mayer recorded "Bold as Love" and maybe some other stuff, and it, you know, the newer musicians are pointing back to the older ones, and that's
right.
Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it's amazing because, you know, Great Moments in Vinyl, you know, you gather together some of the best musicians in this city, and you have access to some of the best in the city, and you always have great musicians. A lot of them, you know, pass through the doors of Old Town School of Folk, and it's amazing. It's just amazing that you how many great musicians you get to work with.
Well, let me just mention too. We got a great drummer guy by the name of Jonathan Reed, who plays locally with a Traffic tribute band called 40,000 Headmen, and I think he also works with Terrapin Flyer, which does a lot of Grateful Dead music. And then Bill Grady and a guy named Christian Eck have their own trio called the BG3. The BG3, and they perform in Wicker Park, I think, on Thursday nights at a restaurant there on a regular basis. Plus, Christian Eck does a lot of other things. He is amazing himself. He's our multi-instrumentalist, you know, so Grady's doing the singing and playing a lot of Hendrix stuff, but you listen to these recordings, and there's other guitars in the background, so we got Christian doing that and adding other noises. He's got effects box. He's got this thing that plays his guitar, makes it sound like it's being played backwards, just like Hendrix used to do in the recording session.
Yeah.
So, and then myself on bass and a few stories to be told along the way, too.
That's right. You've got some great stories to tell. And also, when we have you on to talk about, your upcoming gigs, sometimes you come up with some a countdown, reasons to come out Friday night to see Great Moments in Vinyl play Hendrix. And you have, nine of them. Not if six were nine, but nine of them.
Well, I've got nine of them because, well, you know, I want the best of the best, you know, and some of them, like, I do my research on the internet, and sometimes you just have to raise your eyebrows and say, is that really true? But I did find nine things that you just might not know about Hendrix, and some of them are going to be incorporated into the show. For example, how good were the musicians in the Jimi Hendrix Experience? Well, you remember the song The Wind Cries Mary, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jimi Hendrix's manager said that song had only been written shortly before the band recorded it, and that recording That recording was done at the tail end of the session for recording Fire. Chaz Chandler says, we had about 20 minutes or so left. I suggested we cut a demo of The Wind Cries Mary. So Mitch Mitchell and Noel Redding, they hadn't really heard it yet. They were going about it without a rehearsal. They played it once through, then Hendrix suggested doing some overdubs. In all, he put about four or five more overdubs on the song, and the whole thing was done in 20 minutes.
Oh,
that was their third single.
Wow. 20 minutes for Wind Cries Mary. That's incredible. Wow.
Were those guys good or what?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, that's a band right there. No kidding.
Here's another one.
All right.
Jimi Hendrix's playing was so revolutionary that when he first jammed on stage with Cream back in 1966, Eric Clapton, the guitarist whom fans referred to as God because of his virtuosity, actually stopped playing because he couldn't keep up with Hendrix. And then he left the stage. When Jimmy's manager, Chaz Chandler, went backstage to check on Eric, he found the guitarist standing with his hands shaking, trying to light a cigarette. Eric looked at him accusingly and said, you didn't tell me he was that good.
It's a great story. Great story. All right, next.
Jimi Hendrix was the talk of the music scene in London when he first started playing there. Paul McCartney was a fan, and he brought George Harrison with him to catch Hendrix perform just after the Beatles had put out Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Jimmy didn't know that members of the Fab Four were going to be in his audience that night. He was simply excited about a new album that the Beatles had just released a few days before, so he decided to open his show with the title track from that album, Sgt. Pepper's, just like that. It's not like they worked it up over a few dates and tested it out in front of a crowd. Jimmy and the band just started off their set with a song they'd never played before that had just come out.
Wow.
Paul McCartney was just blown away. He said in his autobiography, it was the ultimate compliment. I put that down as one of the great honors of my career.
Wow. Oh, such incredible stories here, Lindsay. That's
and
great.
And what a brave thing. Like, Paul McCartney, I didn't quote that part of his autobiography, but he talks about just imagine that. You know, they hadn't really worked up the song, hadn't spent time with it. You know, it's not like they tucked it somewhere in the middle of the set and you know, so they could see if it would work or not. They just boldly went out there and played it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next.
Yeah, we tend to think of Jimi Hendrix as making music that mostly reached white hippies. But Jimmy's influence upon black music showed up in the early 70s. Think bands like Funkadelic, the Ohio Players, and the Isley Brothers. According to Rolling Stone, the oft-repeated claim that Hendrix didn't have a black fan base during the 60s is far from true. RU Experience not only peaked at number 5 in the Billboard 200 in the fall of 67, but it also made it to number 10 on the Billboard R&B chart. That's a chart that was compiled from reports filed by record stores with primarily black customers.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
That's great.
Yeah.
How about another one?
Yeah.
Music fans are rightly in awe of Jimi Hendrix, but quite a few people have praised the percussion prowess of Jimi's first drummer, Mitch Mitchell. Mitchell is lucky that he was associated with the Jimi Hendrix Experience at all. His passion was jazz. Specifically, he longed to emulate John Coltrane's legendary drummer, Elvin Jones. Though in England, he was also earning his rent money playing in R&B bands. And as for being chosen for the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Mitchell only beat out the other strong contender, a guy by the name of Ainsley Dunbar, you might have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
He only beat him out because Hendrix's management flipped a coin.
No kidding. Oh, man.
Wow. And he went on to fame and glory.
Wow. Wow, that's great. That's a great story. Wow, these are awesome. Okay.
Well, here's one I got from the internet that I'm a little dubious about, but
okay.
I've sort of weeded out the parts that made me concerned. This came from crazy4rock.com. At the time of his death, Jimi Hendrix was the highest paid musician in the world. Considering the short time that he recorded music, that number is staggering, being the highest paid. He is, without exception, the premier musician of the 60s, as well as one of the most influential musicians in the history of rock. While dying before the age of 30, he compiled more hit music than multiple other bands combined. And here's my favorite line in the entire article. By some estimates, he was underpaid.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. Incredible. Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix died on September 18th, 1970. Had he survived the drug overdose and the complications from it, he would be 75 today, if you can believe it.
Wow.
The power of his music and of his legend has made him one of the top-earning musicians, even now, nearly 50 years after his death. As recently as 2011, he was among the top 10 highest-earning deceased celebrities, holding the number 9 spot, with his estate bringing in $7 million that year. By this past year, Jimi Hendrix was eclipsed by a dozen or more successful estates, but from the 2017 Forbes.com tabulation, I thought it was kind of interesting to see just who else is on that list.
Okay.
Michael Jackson at number 1, of course.
Yeah.
Then you got people like Arnold Palmer, Charles Schulz, Elvis Presley, of course. Here's one that surprised me. Bob Marley on the list of the top 10 dead celebrities.
Yeah.
In terms of their estate's earning power. Tom Petty, we all know that probably got a surge in the past year.
Yeah.
Prince, Dr. Seuss, John Lennon, Albert Einstein, David Bowie, Elizabeth Taylor, and the one that surprised me the most, Betty Page.
Wow.
Indeed.
Wow.
$7.5 million is what her estate earned in 2017.
Wow. That is
compare that with Michael Jackson at $75 million, but
sure.
Still.
Sure. Wow. All right. All right. Great stuff.
Here's one for you to get involved with.
All right.
Let's see here. 50 years ago, in 1968, the Jimi Hendrix Experience played 4 different venues in Chicago. You want to have a shot at guessing which 4 they were?
Oh boy. The amphitheater?
No.
The roller skating place that was on Clark.
I don't think so.
No. Like you know what? Go Aragon.
All right. Now, here, I'll just go through the list.
All right.
To begin with, Hendrix played 2 shows at the Civic Opera House in February.
Jeez.
Then he was back in March. Now scheduled to play in a campus cafeteria at UIC, or as it was then known, UICC, the University of Illinois Chicago Circle. The night of the performance, however, when it came Hendrix's turn to play, he had gone up on stage, tested the equipment, and the show was canceled, that part of the show. So no explanation given. He just walked off, and the band didn't perform.
Oh.
Then they were back at the Auditorium Theater in August, and then in December, they returned to wrap up their Chicago appearances for the year with a show at the Coliseum. The concert hall, which used to be located on Wabash and 15th, south of the Loop.
Wow. Yeah, I would have never gotten those. Auditorium, maybe. Maybe I would have got that one, but that's...
Oh, I was totally in the dark on all these.
Yeah, wow.
Let's see here. Jimi Hendrix has been celebrated as the greatest guitarist who ever lived, as well as one of the greatest musicians in general, but it's incredible that he made his mark in just 4 years' time. 4 years from the release of his first single, Hey Joe, until his death in London. And that includes his performances at Monterey and Woodstock, his 3 albums with the Jimi Hendrix Experience, his live album with Band of Gypsies, plus the 4th studio album that he was in the middle of creating when he died, plus the additional 10 or 11 albums worth of material that had been recorded and sporadically released over the years since his death by his estate. 4 years.
Wow.
The Beatles would only have gotten as far as Revolver in that amount of time.
Wow.
The Rolling Stones would only have just started work on their Satanic Majesty's Request. Bruce Springsteen would have only put out 3 records. U2 would have been interrupted during their work on The Unforgettable Fire. And Prince would have been in the middle of creating 1999.
You know, it makes you think about, had Hendrix lived, you know, like what would his output have been?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, I just see that going both ways. You know, he would have gone on to some incredible things. I don't have a quote right in front of me. He talked about how he felt like he'd come full circle with what he was doing, and now he was waiting for the next thing to come along, and he was going to be ready for it, ready to follow it, whatever that was.
Mm.
But by the same token, you know, I don't want to cast aspersions on Jimmy, but, you know, you look at a guy like Elvis, who's revolutionary. I mean, because we lived through the Elvis Vegas period.
Right, right, right.
It's hard to remember just what a game changer he was.
Yeah.
How he shook things up, and then what happened to him, you know? And I wouldn't say that would happen to Hendrix, but we've seen other people go down that path where maybe they made an impact and then something happened.
Yeah. Well, either way, Hendrix has left behind some amazing music in their first two albums of the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Are You Experienced? And Axis Bold of Love. Bold as Love will be performed this Friday night at Martyrs by Great Moments in Vinyl. And Lindsay, also, you guys have a gig coming up at the end of February, February 23rd. You guys are going to do your Rolling Stones gig at the Joliet Area Historical Museum.
Absolutely. We had some good luck there last summer. We did our Beatles White Album tribute out there and then played at Martyrs the next night. But we performed out there and sold the place out. And they wanted to have us back, and I said, well, I love playing on your rooftop garden, but I bet it's too cold for that. So how about maybe in the indoor theater? And they said yes. And I understand tickets are on sale now, and they're selling.
They're selling, and that's on February 23rd, and you'll be performing the Stones.
Yes, indeed. Sticky Fingers and Some Girls, the show that we brought to Martyrs back in December.
Yeah.
I had something fun happen to me on the street yesterday.
What happened?
Actually, yesterday and this morning as well, walking to work, two different people stopped me and said, aren't you that guy in Great Moments in Vinyl? I kid you not. One guy was driving a car, and he actually pulled over to the side of the road and got out.
Wow. That's awesome, Lindsay. Now you said you're on your way to work. Now you're working for MeTV FM.
Absolutely, we've got some WGN newscasters that appear on that station.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm the guy that, interestingly enough, I tell stories about the music.
Really?
Right. I get little anecdotes that run, say, before certain songs, because you know we're a radio station that doesn't have an air staff. Actually, I shouldn't say a radio station, really a TV station that you pick up on your radio. But we don't have an air staff, per se. We don't have disc jockeys. But we do talk about the music through these pre-recorded little bits that I run. So I'll tell stories about, you know, like the band Chicago. I shouldn't even tell you this one off the top of my head because I can't get all the cities straight. But, you know, if they really represented where they were from, it would have been something like Evergreen Park, Dunning, Brooklyn Heights instead of Chicago. You know, just a string of seven different cities from around the area and in New York.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, it's very, very cool that you get to do that because I know how much you love talking about music and telling stories and informing people of stuff. And the fact that you get to do that on a daily basis at MeTV FM is really awesome.
Well, it's fun. It's a creative job. You know, I was told when I came over there, my main task would be to create interesting things to run on the air, to go around the music. And so I've taken that as my mandate, and that's what I do. Plus, today, also got to help out the people on the new talk show in the morning, The Jam, on WCIU, Channel 26. They had a thing where they took a song by a guy named Lunch Money Lewis, I Got Bills,
yeah,
Every Day, and a song about just being frustrated about needing money and needing to pay your bills. So I took the music bed to that, and I found a karaoke version, and then called in someone from the studio or from the office staff who could sing into my studio, and we re-recorded the lyrics. How does it go? I got bills every day, so I'm going to watch The Jam every day. So, you know, the morning show, The Jam, to win.
Right.
I got bills I need to pay, so I'm going to watch The Jam every day.
There you go. Our good friend John Hansen is on that show.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, he fills
in. Oh, my God. I saw him dressed up as a pimp for Halloween, dancing on the street with people of Chicago. The man is fearless.
He is. He's great. He's filled in here for me a few times. He's a good guy.
I love it.
Yeah. All right, Lindsay, always great to have you on. Fascinating stuff. Really cool facts about Hendrix. And there'll be more and more stories that will be told on Friday night, this Friday, at Martyrs, which is also an incredible room to see a show.
And music, too.
Yeah, and music. Oh, yeah, obviously the music will be there, too, with Great Moments in Vinyl. So check out greatmomentsinvinyl.com for more information, and we have a link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Lindsay, always a pleasure, and we'll see you the next time you got a gig coming up.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Take care. There you go. Lindsay Cochran, everybody. He's the best. And you can check out Great Moments in Vinyl performing Jimi Hendrix this Friday at Martyrs. Okay, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN.